Hello and welcome to episode 15 of the Disconnected Gamers podcast, where we reconnect with life and gaming. I'm one of your hosts, Andrew, also known as J Bond. With me, as always,
is your boy Mike.
Mike, I am currently sitting in my car because it's
too much.
Well, I just, you know, every time I try to do the podcast, I'm like, hey, I'm in a podcast, so don't make any noise.
Right.
And inevitably,
and then they just start talking loud.
It's like I'm like they're breaking out the pots and pans right when I say I'm going to podcast, like just to smash them together. So I decided I would go in my car and do it here. So apologies if it sounds like I'm in a wind tunnel for a little bit. It's just going to have to be that way. And honestly, if I can't ever find time for them not to be making noise, I'll probably just permanently start podcasting from the car.
The car will now be the studio.
Yeah. Anyways, it is March 29th, 2015. We have missed a few weeks, but we had PAX. I had PAX East. You had your convention.
Correct.
What I was assuming you'd name it so people might know.
Yeah, the Planet Comic Con in Kansas City.
Nice.
PCC, for sure.
And then, we've been busy. Real life stuff.
Yeah, too much real life stuff.
So this week, we were gonna try and catch you up on, like, everything, but I feel like it's been too far out to talk about PAX. There's a write-up on the website about a bunch of the games that I saw. A bunch of the games I'm excited to see.
Axiom Verge, though.
Oh, God, I can't wait. I actually really can't wait for the Shovel Knight DLC, either. Like, I'm excited
for that.
Oh, that
looks sweet, yeah.
I don't know. As far as gaming news stuff goes, I did finally get a PS4 camera. The DG Cast now has a YouTube with like one video.
More to come soon.
Yeah, as I say. And then we made a Twitch channel, DG Cast TV on Twitch. And then I've just been playing games. I don't know. What have you been up to?
Pretty much, yeah, that real life stuff and then Borderlands and. What was it to come out? Final Fantasy, that.
Yep.
The 15 demo.
Oh, episode Duskai or Duskai.
Yeah, Duskai, yeah. Yeah.
You're the fifth buddy. I watched the panel at PAX. You are the fifth buddy. I'm not trying to be racist. He's Japanese. He was Japanese. Yeah. They were incredibly well spoken English. Like, right. In the English language. Like, we saw the Life is Strange panel as well, and they were French, but their English was not as good. It was still a great panel. Well, the problem was, is, like, there were certain times where maybe it's just that, like, maybe there's no French to English translation of what they were getting across. So they would be speaking English and then go to French and then, like, back to English.
Right.
And, like, maybe for them, it's totally fluent, but, like, I was sitting there, like, I have no idea what he just said. But you get, like, you get the idea, you know, of most of it. I think it was just, like, certain parts of it that I was just kind of like, I'm not sure.
Right, it's like, I don't know what he was saying.
But it's like, it's whatever. The panel was great. We got to see the, you know, episode 2, which is now out. Life is Strange episode 2 is now available. So people have been playing that, and it's totally legit.
Only choice you can make in that game.
Bacon.
Was it like bacon or what was the other
waffles.
One?
It was like a bacon waffles, thing or waffles.
Yeah, bacon and waffle debate.
Team bacon all the way.
Team bacon, yeah. I usually always say why not both, but
you don't have a choice. That was PAX East, there was a lot of good stuff going on at PAX East. But there's just so many games now that are getting ready to come out, like, from, like, Titan Souls is in April. A lot of the, like, Shovel Knight's April, because it's all part of that Spring Fever PlayStation deal. Haven't really spent a lot of time on the Xbox lately.
I've been on PlayStation more than I have my Wii.
On the Wii U,
but I did pick up two new amiibos, though, so...
What'd you get?
A buddy of mine, he gave me his Captain Falcon because he didn't need it, and then I picked up Mega Man for, like, $4 yesterday with a $10 off reward thing from Toys R Us.
Isn't Mega Man one of the hard-to-find ones?
I guess so, yeah. But there were plenty of them at Toys R Us.
You should go back, put them on eBay, make some money. Yeah, it's. I've been playing a bunch of PC games. Really, I've been going back and forth between PS4 and PC games, just because like there's so many games that I've had the opportunity to review, and I'm like, I should really like fucking flesh these games out, because like you can play a game for like an hour and know whether or not you like it, but it's hard to review a game on like 1 hour into it. You know, you haven't developed enough of the story, so. There's this one game, the review is up, it's called Harold, and, it's like a platformer with a story, but it's not, like, you control
the... kind of like Bastion, but...
No.
No? Okay.
So, it's like a regular platformer, except instead of where you would control the person, you actually control the environment. So you lower, like, the character moves at one speed, and you control, like, the platforms they walk on. You have to, like, right. move them across, or lift them up and down, or, like, lower bridges, or smash walls, so that your character can progress faster. But, like, there is a story behind it, and it's basically, like, Harold is your character's runner, but you are an actual, like, adolescent angel. Think, like, high school to college. So, like, you and your fellow angel-to-bees are, like, competing in these races where you control a human, and you've got to get the human to the end of the race faster than everybody else, naturally. And that's how you get into, like, Archangel Academy, which I assume is, like, the college or, like, the, you know, Harvard of angels schooling system.
Right.
And so, like, there's a bazillion races in this game. Like, there's too many races. Like, I still have... I haven't finished it, but I've played enough of the game to be able to tell you... Well, just to be able to tell you, like, if you don't like the story, it's still a solid platformer. Like, there's no doubt about it. It's a good game. Like, there's a lot of levels. There's, you know, the interaction between each level is different, so it's not like it's repetitive, you know, which is nice. Because, like, there are a couple speedrunners I've played where it's, like, super repetitive, and it's just, like, jump the same four obstacles and, like, just do it a little bit faster.
Yeah.
So Harold's... is pretty good, and allegedly it's coming to Xbox One and Xbox 360. I can't confirm it. I just was reading some things that allude to that.
Right.
You have to have an Xbox controller to play it on the computer. Like, there's no keyboard support.
I guess that works for some people. Then
that's the thing, right? And that was one of the things I put in the review. Like, if you don't have a controller, or you don't bring your controller with you when you go places, like, you can only play it at home. And for me, I don't, like, I have my laptop with me everywhere, and, like, I have headphones and stuff, but, like, I don't bring a controller with me, so I wouldn't be able to play it on the go.
Right, exactly.
But, and then I've just been playing a lot of Jump Jet Rex, which is just fun. I didn't review that because it's still in Steam Early Access. I have, like, a Steam Early Access review written, but I'm still, like, I could post it, but I imagine not much... necessarily mechanically will need to change between the game. Like, there might be more levels, more obstacles, things like that. It's got co-op. It's actually totally rad.
Right.
So that's a good one. I've been playing a lot of that. And then I have Life is Strange for Steam, so I'm playing that too.
Nice, yeah. Plenty to play episode 2.
Yeah. And then, as far as, like, PS4 stuff, Destiny, Hand of Fate, I'm playing some Rogue Legacy.
Yeah.
I've been going back and forth between that on the console and Vita. I think I actually like console better.
Really?
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed it more on the console than I did the Vita.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's that the screen's too small, or like, I don't, just the controller
isn't. It feels better with the controller.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just like the way you hold the screen and everything is just... But that's a fun game, too. I like it.
That is a big game, yeah.
But I have not got the Handsome Collection. I almost actually drove to Target yesterday and just bought it.
Yeah.
I was ready to go get it. And then today I was going to go get Tales of Graces R.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that came out.
But see, it's a GameStop exclusive, apparently. So, like, I don't know that I can go to Target and get a physical copy. I think I might either have to just get it digitally or go to GameStop.
Yeah. Go to GameStop.
If I go to GameStop, it's going to have a fucking sticker on the package.
Right, unless you ask for the...
like, legit unopened one.
Yeah, but usually they don't have those.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what I'm gonna do. But yeah. I was gonna get Battlefield Hardline.
Battlefield 4 Cops and Robbers.
Pretty much. Although a couple people I've that play like Battlefield a lot, they're like, they are two different games. They're like, I can see why most people would say like, oh, it's just Cops and Robbers, but they're like, you know, it's different. Like, there's no levolution, so like you can't blow up environment in mm-hmm. Battlefield Hardline.
Right. So it just looks like Battlefield 4, but it's yeah. not.
Okay. And the multiplayer modes are different, so there's no like, there's a conquest mode, but I guess it's not quite like
conquest, yeah.
So but I haven't played Battlefield 4 in such a long time. It's like, do I want Hardline because it's new?
Right.
You know, and how long are people going to play it? That's honestly one of the biggest driving factors I have when buying like a game that's multiplayer.
In terms of shoot, it's a shooter. I feel like people are going to be playing it for a little while.
Right.
It's like, was it, you know, there's all the driving hate behind Destiny, but people still, you know.
Oh, it's so easy it's so easy to play. That's the thing about Destiny. Like, it's, you know, as much as like Destiny has no story, it has shit for you to do. Like, it always, right. there's always something you can do, because the bounties rotate every day. So even though maybe, yeah, you're doing, like, the same kinds of bounties.
Every day, you do the same thing every day.
It's a little bit different. It feels different.
Right.
Genius. But, like, I would play Uncharted over again, you know? Like, that's a single-player game I would play over again. The Last of Us, I don't really want to play The Last of Us again. I don't really have a burning desire to go back to that game.
Not even that, or the multiplayer.
Yeah, honestly. It's
like, it's good, but there's no driving force to be like, oh, hey, let's play that again.
Right.
Just like, oh, okay, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
Played it, done, don't care.
So that was that. I just, like, I don't know. I want new games, you know? I want new games, but every time I look at the games, I'm like, am I going to play this for a long time? Is it worth $60?
Right, it's like,
is anybody gonna, you know? And then it's like, and then by the time I'm done doing that, I don't want to buy the game.
Right, yeah.
And it's like, I talk myself out of it.
Right, weighing your options out. And then it's like, well, I guess it's not really worth it then.
Yeah. And that part's super frustrating.
Right, yeah. That's what it is for me and, like, Bloodborne and stuff like that.
Yeah, like, I've been watching people play it, and I'm like, you know, maybe I should give it a shot, right? Maybe I should spend the money. But it's like, oh, but it's $60, and that's...
It's basically just Dark Souls 2, whatever, Dark Souls 1, 2, whatever, Demon Souls, all that nonsense. It's basically just that, but, you know, newer-ish.
Right. And then, like, you know, like, I was going to get Freedom Wars when that came out. Never happened.
It's like cheap now.
Yeah.
You can get it now. It's cheap now. I should have waited. Not that it's not worth buying, but...
Right, exactly. That's the thing. It's just kind of like, well... I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing that kind of sucks. Like, for me as a gamer, like, it's so easy for me to just play the same games over and over again.
Over and over,
like, it's super easy for me to do that. Like, I'll grind in a game that I can enjoy. And, like, Drive Club, perfect example. I spent the $50 because it was $10 off for PS Plus, and then the game sucked. But that's not a game I want to play single player. Like, I don't want to just race myself.
Right, yeah.
Like, it's more, like, I bought it so I could race with my homies.
Exactly.
Now I can't.
That's what I was excited for, but you can and you can't.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So it's just kind of... It's kind of frustrating, because it's just like, well, there are all these games I just don't particularly want to play. Like, Borderlands Handsome Collection, perfect example. It's like The Last of Us for me. I don't really want to play the game again. And there's no real multiplayer component, right? You just co-op campaign.
Right.
And then people are like, oh, but you can just transfer your characters over. And I'm like, oh, so I can transfer over a beaten game.
I didn't get any trophies for it, so technically I have to rebeat the game again.
To get the trophy.
Thus, I have a reason to play it again.
Yeah, for trophies, but I don't care about the trophies.
It's not so much trophies, it's just, oh, hey, you can play with your friends again.
Right. I mean, and it looks good. I mean, we played it at PAX. It runs really, really smooth. It runs
so smooth, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'll go pick it up.
Plus, it's like, what, $140 worth of content for $60?
Yeah, because you get all the DLC for everything. Yeah, and well, it's the pre-sequel, too, so it's really two games for $60.
And they'll update the, what's it called? They just updated it to add the Claptrap DLC, whatever that was recently released.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Nicole joined me.
What are you doing?
I'll play in the pre-sequel.
Oh. I don't know. I really go back and forth with it. And it's kind of like, I wonder if other people are the same way. Or if other people, like, the difference for me is I don't trade the games back. You know? I don't sell games back. So if I buy the game and I don't like it, I'm stuck with that $60 game. Like, I flat out refuse to trade it back. Like, Dying Light, I don't think I'll play that again. Like, I bought it. Yeah, I bought it because you were like, it's really good. And I watched you do it share play. And I was like, it's pretty fun. Bought the game. We beat it. And, like, I don't have a desire to go back and play it. There's nothing to do. You know, there's nothing to do. Just run around and kick zombies in the face. But
hard mode again. There's hard mode now, so there's an actual challenge to play it again. But
do you rebeat the story on hard mode, or?
Yeah, you basically just start over.
Yeah. That's like, I don't know. That's not. It's just. But like, I'm not gonna sell Dying Light back. So I'm not gonna get any. Even if I was gonna get like $40 for it, I'd be like, whatever. You know, I just wouldn't do it. In that part. Yeah. Is kind of kind of annoying for me, because it's like, there are like Drive Club, I bought it digitally, so I can't sell it back anyways. But had I bought a physical copy, I wouldn't have been able to sell it back, because I just would have refused.
Yeah, so basically just out
the money.
Yeah.
Because eventually, years from now, I'll want to play it again for nostalgic purposes.
Oh, yeah.
And then by then, there won't be any online support or anything like that, so it won't matter.
Right, that's true.
Or at least, well, maybe there'll be support, because it's, you know, the PS4's got a longer lifespan, so my guess is maybe there'll still be support if Evolution continues to exist. But, you know, maybe Sony would take it into their infrastructure and give it servers for internet. But it's just one of those things, like, I get really bummed out because there's all these games and I'm like, yeah, I'd totally play that for like 2 weeks,
right?
But knowing that I won't sell it back, it's like the $60 is worth way more,
right? Yeah,
because it's just like, I don't, you know, obviously if you make a lot of money or you make more than nothing, it doesn't matter to you. But like, for me, I don't make a whole hell of a lot of money, and like, I just got my tax return
beat up out.
Yeah, it's like, I got my tax return, and I bought the PS4 camera so that I could stream and have a face cam.
Right.
Also, turns out, apparently I'm not the only person who has audio and video delays with Elgato.
Hmm.
Apparently that's, like, a thing. Unless you have, like, beast mode computers.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because I was reading, somebody was complaining that they were having the same issue, and they're using a HD60. I mean, I don't have the HD60, but I have the old school.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I don't know. It's just like, and even that, like, I want to get a really nice computer for streaming and stuff. But I'm always like, if I spend this money on this computer, and then, like,
then you're just finished out money.
Yeah, it's like, I have this computer that I can stream with, and, like, I have been streaming a little bit more often than normal. Like, I've been trying to stream on, you know, Fridays and Saturdays, along with my Mondays for Radio PlayStation, but, you know, it's not, like, the problem is I stream now, and it's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with my streams right now. I stream from the PS4, I've got the face cam, I made a green screen wall that I put behind me, so, like, you know, it green screens out, like, half of the little square, you know, from your camera. So, like, I put it in the bottom left, so that it's kind of out of the way, because, like, my guitar cases still show up on the screen, because I can't green screen those out.
Right.
So I have, basically, it's in the bottom left so that it doesn't distract. Like, there's not this random wall of material on, like, the side of the camera. But, like, there's nothing really wrong. The stream looks okay. You know, it looks pretty good because, like, I have decent internet, so I can stream in the high settings. You know, the gameplay is just whatever, because it's whatever game I'm playing. But, like, if I bought a sweet computer, I could put in an overlay, I could change up the face cam a little bit, but ultimately it would be the same content being generated. You know, it'd be the same thing coming to you.
Right, yeah.
So it's like, it's just not totally worth it, unfortunately.
Right.
Is the thing.
Yeah.
And then, like, I don't know, I go back, it's one of those things, you talk yourself out of it. I don't know, maybe there's, maybe, like, anybody who's listening to the stream, like, you should tweet at us, or, like, whatever, tweet us at the DGCast, or tweet me at So After I Said, and tell me, like, do you talk yourself out of purchases for gaming stuff? Like, do you start weighing the options? Or are you just like, buy it, and if I don't like it, I can sell it back?
Just back, yeah, return it. Yeah.
Like, you can return the games, you can sell the games back, but, like, if I bought a computer, if I spend, like, you know...
Oh, yeah, fucking...
I'm gonna take a beating not being able to return it. I'm probably just gonna have to, like, sell it on eBay or Craigslist.
Yeah.
Most and even that...
Turn it.
No. And even that's like, I look at the specs on computers and I'm always like, oh man, that's a really expensive computer. And I'm like, well, I'll build a computer. And then it's like, you start putting all the stuff in and you're like, well, it's only $20 more to get this processor and $20 more to get this thing and this. And then, like, you, by the time you're done, you look at your build and you're like, oh, god damn it. It's no cheaper. Much. Yeah. Like, it'll be a powerhouse computer, but, like, I'm not trying to spend $1 million.
Oh, yeah. God, no.
It's like, I just want to spend, like, I want to, and I know it's doable. I know it's doable to spend, like, between $500 and $700 and get a pretty decent streaming PC.
Right, yeah, get a decent setup.
Because,
yeah,
like, I'm not looking to stream games in 4K, you know? I'm not looking to stream... I don't even necessarily care if I stream them in 1080p. If I could only do games in 720p, I'd be like, done. Cool.
That right, works for me.
It's like, and I don't play those power-intensive games anyways...
Right, it's like, you're not going to fucking sit there and try to play Crysis or some
bullshit. That's the thing, and most likely on those games, I'd be playing them on console.
It's true.
Like, I'd probably be playing those games, I wouldn't be playing Battlefield 4 or Hardline on the PC, I'd be playing that on the console.
Right.
You know, it's like, the games that I'd be playing on PC would be like Counter-Strike, Insurgency, which is on sale as of this podcast being recorded.
Go buy more.
But you should go buy, yeah, like, it's really good. Because it's like, Insurgency is like Counter-Strike hardcore mode, but with the realism of, like, Call of Duty. It's fucking awesome. So, and I would say Insurgency might be one of the highest, like, graphically demanding games that I would probably be playing.
Right.
It's like, it's just fast-paced shooters. It's not so much the graphics, it's more just there's so much going on the screen. Like, Life is Strange, it wouldn't probably matter whether you played in, like, a super high resolution, because it's not, like, realistic graphics.
Yeah, it's not one of those things where it's like, oh, I have to make it look pretty.
Yeah. So that's the thing, right? You know, you're looking at this thing and you're like, well, but I'm not really going to be playing super intensive stuff, so I'll get, like, a low-end machine to stream.
Right. Something that can run simple things.
And then you look at it and you're like, oh, but everyone else is using this. And like,
yeah.
And then, but then I was reading stuff online and, like, most of these games don't support multi-core processing. So really, if you had a quad-core processor, it only processes the game on one of the cores. So you could have a beast computer and it doesn't matter because it's only going to run as fast as one of your cores. So if I had, like, a dual-core super base processor, it doesn't matter. It just has one core just has to be fast.
Right.
To run it. So you look at that stuff, and you're like, well, damn it. Maybe I should just, you know, hop in. And then, like, CJ, the Hug of War, we were talking about it, and he was like, you know, spend the most amount of money you can on a processor. Because you can basically upgrade everything else, which is true.
Right, yeah.
But it's like, most of the games I play on PC just don't call for it. So I'm always just, like, looking at it like, is it even, you know, does it even really matter that much?
Is it really worth it? Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. I don't know. I'm itching to get a streaming PC just for the extra bit of being able to stream the games that I play. Because, like, right now when I do it on my laptop, it's a little tough. You know, I've only got one screen. And even when I have the external monitor plugged in, it's not all that fantastic. you know, and my computer, it's a laptop. It's not really designed for that anyways, so you go back and forth. It's like, come on. But I'm trying, you know, we're trying. You know, I was trying to record some videos today. I was actually trying to record some review product videos. It's stuff I already have, but I was just going to do a video. You know. And, like, so much noise. Like, the dog's running around in the you know, downstairs. Oh. And so all you hear in the background is, like, of, like, pitter-patter. And I'm just like, I'm going to... But if you put the dog outside, the dog literally vaults into the door until you let her in. Like, she gets, like, a running start and just jumps and, like, four paws to the glass. So you just, like, all you hear is, like, bark, bark, wham, bark, bark, wham, and until you go and open the door.
Wow.
So, like, maybe I'll, like, set up the Tahoe as a recording studio and we'll put a green screen on the back window and do all my product reviews from the car.
Yeah, exactly. Just, like, somehow green screen your bedroom in there.
Yeah. I think what I might actually end up doing, though, is doing them at work. And just, like, when everybody leaves, because it's like I can stay late, set it up and do it at work. And then I'd have access to way more space to lay things out and, like, to set up the camera and you know, control lighting. And there would be no noise, which would be nice. But we'll see. I am trying... For those listening, I am trying to get more content on the website. I am trying to get content on YouTube in the form of, like, reviews. Like, I really want to get into PC and tech and gaming stuff. If you know people, let them know.
Look them up.
But, and honestly, what I really, like, my main goal is kind of to help low-end streamers like us, mm-hmm. you know? Right. Hey, you can't afford a crazy streaming PC? This one works for us. This one... was able to do these things. Like, if you're going to play these types of games, you know, it's a little sluggish, but, you know, if you're just looking for a computer to run streams and, you know, console stuff and whatever, here you go. You know, and hey, it does video editing, because I'm doing video editing with this machine.
Right.
So, but that's, you know, it's a bummer, because when you're, like, when you're new to the field... In the sense mm-hmm. that we just started DGCast in, you know, November, so we've been going for, like, 5 months now. We don't have a huge fan base. We don't have a huge viewership, like most startups do. And, like, all these companies, it is, like, I understand it, but it is frustrating. Because they're all like, oh, we wish there was more content on your page. And it's like, well, but I can't create content from nothing.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I can't independently afford to purchase 8 headsets to test them. I can only purchase, like, one or two that I plan on using and review those. I can't, you know, I can only buy the games I know I'm going to play to review those games. I can't just, you know, front the whole project. That's where reviews come in. That's, you know, and I'm not saying, like, oh, give me free shit so I can review it. No, not at all. I'm asking you for products that I think me and my, you know, Mike, you, and other viewers of the DGCast would probably like or use because, you know, they are following us because they're interested in what we like. So, if that aligns, that may equal sales for you. But it certainly doesn't equal sales for you if I can't review it because I just can't afford the product.
Right.
You know, and in most cases, I do say to them, you know, I understand that part of it. But I also will send it back. I don't send me a I imagine they must have used ones that they send to reviewers who just simply send them back because they don't need, like, 10 headsets laying around.
Oh yeah, exactly.
You know, I imagine some of the bigger publications, they're constantly getting products to review, so they take the product, they review it for a week, they send it out, they send it back. Like, there's no reason to keep them.
Keep it, yeah.
So, you know, I was, working, you know, just trying to get in with some of these people just to, because it's just, you just need to start, you know, you need to get a couple reviews on a couple products, and then maybe the people start seeing it, and they're like, hey, I like what he's got to say, I like what they're doing with this, you know?
Right.
Because that's, you know, right now, that's my current, you know, goal with the DGCast, right? I like doing the podcast, it's fun. You know, obviously... people are listening to it, so maybe they think it's fun too.
Right, yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I want to do video game reviews. I want to try and cover a little video game news. But ultimately, I'd love to just be reviewing products and streaming stuff and streaming with those products so that people can be like, oh, man, they, you know, every time they stream, it's, you know, new equipment. But
right.
They look at all of these things that I could use to stream with. You know?
Right, yeah, exactly.
And at the same time, I'm helping rep a new game that might have come out, or an independent developer who's got this really nifty game that maybe might not get seen.
Yeah.
But it's a work in progress. Plus, balancing that with real life jobs. And
yeah, it's kind
of, it's tough.
It is tough.
So that's,
but it can be figured out.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, it's just a, it's a balancing act. And it gets a little bit easier, you know? It does get a little bit easier.
Right.
Yeah. It's not as, you know, it's not as hard as some people might think it is. It you know, it's just, you just got to do it, you know? I get home I get home from work. I usually turn the PS4 on. I sit in bed. I usually pass out. Wake up like an hour, hour and a half later. I eat something. And then it's, I'm either looking up products online, sending out emails, or I'm playing some games. And, like,
right.
Playing games is, you know, that's a work and pleasure type of thing. You know, I could be playing games to review them, or I could just be playing games for fun.
Right. You know?
But now I'm getting more into the sense of if I'm gonna play games, I usually now I'm just going to start streaming them.
Right.
You know, like, because even, like, last night I was playing Destiny and I was just running bounties. But I was like, you know what, whatever, I'll stream it. And,
yeah.
You know, I had a couple viewers for a little while. I had some, you know, Icy Dude was in the chat, and we were talking gaming and stuff. Yeah. You know, but whatever. And had I not streamed, it would have been whatever. I would have just played by myself. But, like, you know, maybe there's that one person that catches a stream and you know, gets a question answered about gaming. Or there's a discussion about gaming in general.
Right, yeah. Just some genuine interest in talking about something during the stream.
Yeah.
That just keeps going on, that keeps it entertaining.
Well, that's the thing, right? It's like, it's the reason why, like, I like playing multiplayer games. It's better than playing alone.
And it's true.
So how's
very true.
So how's the pre-sequel, since I've only played, like, 30 minutes of it, and I don't know where I was in the story.
I love it.
People were saying the writing's not as good, because it was the Australian... It was 2K Australia.
The Australian team, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm playing as Jack, so the guy that recorded his lines for him is pretty freaking hilarious. Because he's just a straight up asshole, so. Like, at one point, you do a mission, and it's like that shoot me in the face guy in Borderlands 2, but it's like, oh, well, call that guy a dick. And so the Jack guy's like, oh, yeah, you're a dick. And the guy just cries. Just walk away laughing, like, what the hell was that all about?
Nice.
So stuff like this still has the humor from the other game, so
right,
that's what I still enjoy about it.
Playing it on the, and you're on the moon for 90% of it, right? Or do you never leave the move?
Yeah. The moon? I think you're on the moon.
Yeah.
So the whole gravity thing is pretty fun.
Right, and you have oxygen levels and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it, I think I'm gonna pick it up after this podcast is over.
Make sure. Like I said, right now I'm playing this with Nicole.
Yeah.
She's playing as Claptrap, which...
Not surprising.
I didn't know that. Yeah, Claptrap can fuck you over, I guess.
What do you mean?
Like, he has a... he's got a perk that fucks up your aiming.
Hmm.
Yeah. And she did that to me, like, once or twice. Like, she just did it now. So awesome, but inaccurate. It's like, I can't fucking shoot.
Yeah, it's not no different than Nicole when she has, like, a vehicle in any game.
We were just shooting each other with the tank, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, that's the thing about Borderlands, like you said, with multiplayer games. Even if you're not really super engaged playing alone, once you start playing with someone else, then it's more engaging.
Right. I know a lot of people who just prefer single-player games.
Right.
I used to. There was a time when I didn't like playing online. because right. I didn't want to deal with the BS.
Oh yeah.
But like now it's more like for me personally, being able to play online is an outlet. You know, it's where I can go communicate with like-minded people. So like it's way more like. I don't want to say emotionally positive for me, but it kind of is. Like, because otherwise I'm just sitting, you know, you go to work, you do nothing, you kind of interact with people that you work with, and then you get home and it's like you play video games by yourself. No, I don't want to do that anymore. Like, I want to play games with people. And most of the people that I want to play with friends-wise, like, they live in various parts of the, you know, world.
Right, yeah, so.
So it's like it's not like I can just, like, on a weekend go visit somebody and play games.
Yeah, just bring your console over and just fucking throw down.
Yeah, exactly. It's like those days are gone. As a kid, it was way easier because everybody lived near each other, but like now everybody lives so far away.
Yeah.
That part sucks.
Right?
You know, normally like every so often, like I go to my brother's house and I bring the Xbox because he's a Halo guy. And he plays Call of Duty too, but... you know, basically just first-person shooters. And, like, we'll roll that for, like, you know, a few hours. And then that's, you know, whatever. Then we're working, whatever. We're doing stuff around the house or whatever. Like, you know, it's, like, not, like, a regular thing.
Mm.
And he doesn't have an Xbox One, so it's not like we can play together at all.
All the time,
when we're not at, like, when I'm not over his house. And he's probably not going to get an Xbox One because he doesn't play very much to begin with. The only times he really plays is when I come over anyway, so it's like, why would he spend the money
have
the Xbox One for the like few times we probably would get to play together?
Right.
So, it's a balancing act for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
But I don't know, I didn't really come into this podcast with a topic other than just kind of bringing people up to speed. Yeah. I do keep seeing a lot of things that just start to annoy me when I read them, and it's like the second somebody gets their, you know, undies in a twist because they read some line in a game or something.
Right.
So now like force the developer to change it. Like I can't handle that anymore. Like I at first I get it. I understand, you know, you want
people getting gender butt hurt about specific.
Well, it's just like, you know, you want gender equality, you want females to be, you know, more positively represented and all this stuff. But then it's like there's like one line in a series of dialogue and like that's the thing, and everyone just jumps on a developer, and it's like, you need to change this whole thing. And it's like, why? Why do they need to change it? It offended you? I'm sorry. One, I don't think there's any game that has a dynamic story, an interesting story, that doesn't necessarily please every single person.
Right.
You know, The Last of Us, for example, Tess dies. Spoiler alert, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
And if she didn't, you know, if she died, somebody was probably like, I can't believe that character dies. What a powerful female character. And then there are probably some people who she died and they're like, oh, it's just another person in the game, right?
Yeah. You know? No bigs.
Like.
Yeah, exactly.
But at the same time, like, you know, they wrote in the scene with, I can't even think of his name, but you go to Billstown, duh.
Okay.
Bill, like, you write in the, and it's, you know, you're led to believe that he's gay. Awesome. Really? Yeah. The whole scene with the, spoiler alert, the whole scene with the truck and the, he was my partner.
Oh, yeah.
You're led to believe. And again, I'm into the story, and I'm like, huh, not, you know, that's nice. You throw that into the game. It didn't make the game more... You know, didn't change the story of the game whether he was gay or not. That was just an artistic choice they made. Whatever. It does not offend me. I don't.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Care. Yeah.
There might have been somebody who was offended that he was gay.
Right.
And there might have been somebody who was psyched because, in that specific
viewpoint,
like someone represent them, you know, represent that population. That would, you know, I can see both sides of the coin. I don't see the side of the coin where people think that it has to be changed because they want it to change. Like, at what point do you have to, like, at what point does a developer have to say, this was an artistic choice that I made because I wanted it to be this way? But you telling me that you want me to change it because it doesn't please you is really disrespectful to that person's idea. You know?
Right.
Like, BioWare has changed their games because of people complaining, you know? I'm not saying that it's right or wrong to complain about the game. I feel like you should be able to voice your opinion. I think it's unfair to force a person who has created a story, created a game, created a character, created a universe, to change it because something doesn't necessarily sit right with you. Because, right, yeah. Because my problem is why is their view less important as the creator of the thing, you know, when... It's a tough situation. Like, the developer can't win because now a developer has to be mindful of everything when they make their game, except if their creative process or creative decision or the way they wrote the story was a particular way, why should they have to change it?
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. That's...
Like,
Someone change their vision because you didn't like one small detail.
And that's pretty much all. Like, you can have the story be whatever you want, have the characters whatever way you want. Yeah. It's not going to affect me because if the story is good, the rest of the stuff is irrelevant to me. And not irrelevant. God, yeah. It's not irrelevant. It just doesn't matter. Like,
right. Yeah.
If the story is great, then the way that the character development starts would be seamless in the story, and I wouldn't really even be paying attention to it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I wouldn't be nitpicking a particular character if the rest of the story and the entire universe of the game was so good that it didn't matter to me.
Right.
Exactly. In the same sense, if I'm not invested in the story, I'm probably going to start spending time criticizing particular characters, and then you have this part where it's like, well, now we need to change them. And it's like, maybe that's just how they saw it. Like, I don't think Dying Light had a fantastic story, but it was captivating.
Yeah, it wasn't
original,
but yeah, you know.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Dynasty, Destiny, and like no characters die in the game.
Yeah.
But in like Dying Light, a ton of characters die in the game.
Right. There's a lot of crucial characters that
die.
You
become friends with and end up losing in some cases. And like, I think that type of dynamism is needed in a lot of games. And I think when you don't have big moments like that, it's easy to sit and be like, why is this character so dumb? Or like, why does this character do this? Like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Especially when nothing...
emotional investment in
right.
games.
So and
Destiny
usually...
doesn't do that for
me. Yeah, Destiny has none of that. And it's like, the thing is, like, in movies, you know, you have that dumb character in, like, the, you know, mob movie, and you're like, oh, he gets whacked at some point.
Because he's
dumb. And it's like, and then he does die, and you're like, I knew it. Like, now, you know, it makes sense. It's like, because, you know, you can't be that dumb in this type of environment and somehow survive.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't add, up, you know, and in Dying Light, there are characters that died because they were brave, died because they put themselves at risk, and in some cases died because of hubris.
Yep.
And it's like, that's dynamic. That pulls you into the story. That makes those characters... the way they are, perfect for that, you know, perfect for the way the story carried them through.
Right.
So it's like, you know, if one of the characters was gay, it wouldn't have made a difference. They could have been gay. I would probably have to go back and play a game again to be like, huh, oh, I guess that line does make sense, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm all for it. Like, if, you know, if the developer and the creators and the writers, they want to make the characters whatever way they want, do it. Because as long as the game is solid, things like that, it doesn't matter to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be not offended.
Right.
You know, I'm accepting of whatever various cultures and lifestyles and things. It's just, it's not a thing that would upset me if I saw it in a game. But at the same right, it doesn't upset me when I don't see it in a game.
True.
Like, I'm not upset. Like, I don't play through games and be like, I can't believe there were no, you know, alternative lifestyle characters. And I don't, right, like, yeah, I, exactly. like, as we're saying this, right, like, I'm hopeful, and, like, I'm trying to use generic wording, because I don't want to say the wrong thing and then upset somebody. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, just saying, like, alternative lifestyles, you know, because I don't want to, this whole trans thing, like, there's so many different words. Yeah. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to upset anybody. If you are any of those things, awesome. I don't, just, like, I support right. you as a human being. Like,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Just don't, like, I'm not trying to set fires.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, it's just one of those things, like, if it's in a game, awesome. Like, right. I love, there's a girl that I follow on Twitter, and her name is Kathleen, and I don't know what her, like, handle is. I just know her by her name. And she was playing the Left Behind DLC. And there was a part, the part where, spoiler alert, there's a little romantic scene between Ellie and the other girl whose name now eludes me.
I can't remember it either. Any one of her best
friends. The best friend, yeah, the two main characters in Left Behind DLC. And, like, she was doing a Let's Play, or she was live streaming it, and she, like, started crying. Because she was so excited that Naughty Dog put, like, a lesbian romance into the game.
Right.
That's fucking awesome. That's fucking awesome that a game has that type of power over a person playing it. Like, that it can literally change the entire experience for them. That's awesome. Yeah. Like, me, as a straight white guy, when I play the game, I think, oh, huh, like, they're, you know, they're in love with each other. Cool. Like it's not as pivotal a moment for a video game to me, but it is to somebody else. And I think that's awesome. Like, I think it's awesome that people can be affected by being represented in a video game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not saying every single developer now has to do it, because it changed. I want the story and the character development to support the decisions they make. And if it all works, awesome. But I don't think it's fair to criticize developers and writers and creators when they have their own reasons to make decisions. Like,
right, exactly.
That's the thing. Like, you know, if you're not purposely if you're not going out of your way to upset a group of people, I think if your decisions are whatever they are, we as the people who play the games have, there's a bit of respect we owe to these people who put all this time and effort into creating
a game. Right, yeah, because they didn't just, you know.
You know, they're not creating the game for me, they're creating the game for all of us. So they may not hit on every single thing that we, or I as an individual gamer, are looking for.
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And I've heard some devs go, like, you know, oh, I can't wait to play this part, you know, because I didn't get to do that part of the game. So,
right.
Like, so-and-so did it, so I can't wait to see what they did.
Yeah.
You know?
So that's
so stuff
thing.
Like that, yeah, is so goddamn amazing that they can do that.
Yeah, and so that's the thing, you know, I think there's a, like, and I'm critical of certain games. I am a pessimist. Like, I shit on games, I shit on companies.
Oh, like, yeah, same.
The difference is I don't want to force anybody to change. Like, I think Destiny needs to have changes. Am I gonna send death threats to Bungie? No.
Oh, no.
It's their game. Ultimately, they get to make the decisions. They made the fucking game. But, you know, here, this is my input. This is my two cents. And, you know,
this is what I think should have done.
I wish people were a bit more civil on both sides. On both sides. You know, because it's just like I popped open Twitter today and wanted to throw my phone out the window because I read a bunch of stuff about, some people, like, demanding some game have, like, one thing changed in it, and I, to educate myself about it, I went through, I read a bunch of the tweets from both people, and I was like, I can't believe you guys can't have a civil debate on this. Like, I can't believe you can't just say, dear developer, I think this line's a bit offensive, you should really change it.
Right, yeah.
You know, and they can, you know, the developer can respond, we understand that it's offensive. We apologize.
Yeah, we're sorry. Yeah.
This is part of the, you know, this is part of the creative process, and we are leaving it in. Or you know, we're going to change it. And it's just like, I just can't deal with the, like, boycott this thing and burn these people to the ground and blah, blah, blah. It's just, I don't know. It's one of those things I'm too exhausted to do the, like, back and forth between thing. And, like, I stay out of all of these things. I try to stay out of it. I don't want to get in it. It's not worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing gets accomplished when you're yelling at each other. You know, right. people are just getting on Twitter and bashing each other because, you know, the second you say one thing, oh, well, that instantly means you side with this, and that means you're a bad person, or you're an awesome person, and it's like, I just want everybody to get everybody's never going to get along, right? But it's just like, I just wish that there was a little bit more understanding from both sides of each argument.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, just because someone doesn't agree with you doesn't mean they don't respect you as a person.
Right, yeah.
But when you start calling them names and stuff like that, well, then, yeah, you're obviously not a very...
Yeah, you're not a good person.
Yeah, you're not a good person, so...
Oh, God.
But, we're probably going to try and record multiple podcasts today just so that we can put them up sequentially so that we have one. So my question to you is, do you have any shout-outs?
I guess to any dev that what you brought up, the whole the artistic value with the alternate lifestyles, I guess. Anyone that has the balls to just be like, hey, this is what we believe in, you know.
That would be Naughty Dog.
Yeah, so just Naughty Dog. Yeah,
I mean, Naughty Dog as a developer, I think, has been fantastically, I don't know what the word is, engaging or just encompassing, you know, multiple lifestyles and multiple viewpoints in life. And I think Naughty Dog has a very seamless way of doing it.
Shout out goes to them.
So Naughty Dog gets a shout out. I was going to shout out Sarah, because Sarah, I don't know if it was this weekend or last weekend, but Sarah spoke on a panel about, like, women in gaming and feminism and things like that. And, like, she's probably going to criticize me for just, like, being so bluntly about it. Like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but she was asked to speak on the panel because she does the writing for the Mary Sue, and she does her own website, and she does Tech Up. So she's in that, you know, kind of community. So that was really cool to see that there was a couple pictures she posted on Twitter about it. So I'm going to shout out Sarah, and her Twitter is at Sarah Joy, CERAJOY. At Naughty Dog is, I think, at Naughty_Dog. But obviously we'll annotate, we'll put it in the notes. And I believe you can, oh, you know what? I should probably tell everybody. We still have a Twitter, at the DG Cast. My Twitter is at So After I Said, if you feel like following me. Mike, you are at
MTong1.
MTong1. We do have a Twitch now. It's DGCastTV, so twitch.tv/DGCastTV. We have a YouTube. It doesn't have an actual channel link, so I'll just have to link it in the notes.
Right.
As we start to build content and get stuff going on that. But that is it for episode 15, and I believe we will catch you.
Oh, yep.